We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sure if you don't know me, then my name is Eric Fowler, and I'm from Labrador, not Newfoundland, Labrador, and is having meetings in Highfield. Nice to be here today. Very, very nice. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read from verse number 10. You're going to go into a fight. Nice to have a little armor on, a little protection. And we're going to speak about the little protection here. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. And that's one good thing you got to have. If you're going into a fight, you got to have strength. No good to go into the fight and you're a little weakling. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you can very well see that it is a different fight we're going to talk about here. A total different fight altogether. Powers of darkness and evil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we've been hearing about the Word of God today. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now God can add a blessing to what we've heard, and the public reading of the Word of God, which is more important than what I can say about it, but in a little part here, we'll speak about this armor. I'm just thinking about the phrases here which says that ye may be able to stand. Very important is to take a stand. Take a stand. What do you stand for in the assembly of God in which you are today? What do you stand for? I've heard someone say that if you, don't take a stand, if you stand for nothing, or you stand for anything, or just take a stand for any old thing, then it won't be long before you'll stand for nothing. Taking a stand. You go to the book of Acts and you'll find out that the word stood or stand is very important. Taking a stand. Learning what you stand for. Learning the truth of God and taking a stand and standing for the truth and understanding that there is a battle that's going to happen if you're going to take a stand for the truth. That you may be able to stand. God wants us to be able to stand. And I'm sure you want to be able to stand when it comes to the things of God. And it's very important. First of all here, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil. The devil was always an enemy of God. He's always an enemy of the truth. And he's the one who is there seeking to devour or to bring down anybody that will take a stand for God. Nice to learn what you stand for. Nice to learn what the others of the other generation, and we've been hearing about that, the past generation, why they stood where they stood. Why they took this stand. And it's very important. And the wiles of the devil, or the devil is there with all his techniques. He's one who is seeking to bring down those that would stand for the truth. And you and I here is instructed that if we would take the armor of God, then we'll be able to stand. And then it says down to verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, and he's stressing the point, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, what's the idea here? My thought is that, you know, that the devil is not always just going to come once, and you stand him. And you take a stand, and you quote a verse to him, and you tell him where you stand, and make a good stand, and you won the battle. Don't expect him not to come back. is the witch standing here. He is going to return. He is going to attack again. And he attacks the old. You know, it's never too old to get attacked. I knew a man who was in the Assembly of God for 50 years. And today he's not. He got attacked. And the attack came in the least direction that he ever expected that to come. Satan is not going to come sometimes, you know, or he's going to write you a letter or send you an email, or because all this communication that we have today, fast communication, he's not going to send you any warning, and he's going to come where you least expect him to ever turn up. That's why it's important to understand that you need the whole armor of God. You can't afford not to wear any. You can't afford to be careless in any aspect of your life, whether it's an attitude in the mind, no matter what aspect of your life, young or old, he's going to attack. And you got to be ready for him the first time, and you got to be able to withstand him again. And so, you know, the Baghdad, when they were going in, Americans was going in a bombing. You know, the first line of bombers came in, and that was one thing, wasn't it? But you know that they attacked the very same way that the enemy, that Satan, attacks. And you know, when the people thought that, well, certainly they're only going to have one line of bombing, you know, another one came right behind them. When they didn't get up to stand, just didn't recuperate from the first attack. They were stumbling on the first attack, and a wave came in again right behind. That is exactly the way Satan operates. I sit in a home a little while back. A young woman has been having a very, very difficult time. And we had telephoned and called, and we had a visit with her. And she was going over some of the things, and we was listening to her and sitting down. And she began to say, I hope it don't get any worse. I don't want it to get any worse. I know it can't get any... Says the young woman, just stop for a minute. Just stop for a few seconds. I haven't much experience in the attack of Satan. A few too many sometimes. But I says, I understand that it can get worse. When we think nothing can get worse, it does. It does. You know what? 2 weeks from the day I sat in her home, I got news. It was far worse. And you know what? It came in a direction that she never expected. In fact, I never ever thought about it or expected that Satan would hit this young couple once more in this direction. Never thought about it. It's the wiles of the devil. We need to be on guard, and we need to use all the armor, the whole armor of God. The whole armor. Every single piece of it. And if we're going to be able to stand. It's nice to see, our brother mentioned about the older lady. It's nice that, you know, there are older people who have stood the test of change and all the rest of it. They had it in their generation. Every generation has it. And they were able to go, you know, step by step in their teenage years, in their 20s, in their married life, and when they began to get old. Because, you know, it's not easy to get old. My mother-in-law is 91, and she says that they said it was golden years. There's nothing much golden to this. But it's nice to see somebody that has been all the way through their life, from the very high school years, all the way through, a steady, and learn to stand, learn to take a stand. If you don't stand when you're in high school, it's very unlikely that you will stand when you finish high school. And you're finished standing then, because you're just wiped out with the soul movement and the change of life that... No, it's nice to learn right at the very beginning of your Christian life that I need to take a stand, and I know where I stand, and... Up on the Word of God is important. Now, let's look at a few of the armor. I don't know when I get up, but what time is... Truth. First armor. Stand therefore, having your lines girded about with truth. What do you believe today? What do you really believe? Yeah, I know what your father believed, and your grandfather. Some of the generations in Ontario got a long lineage way back. I know what your grandfather believed, and your great-grandfather, and your father. And I know. But what do you believe? What is the truth? You got the lines good at the truth around you. What truth do you have around you? That's the important. That's what will make you stand. That's right.
That's what will protect you, the truth that you believe in your heart. Convictions. Got any convictions today? Have you learned to have deep convictions in your soul that when you went to school as a boy and sat in school, somebody asked you, why is it that you don't speak the language that we've been speaking around here? Your language is a little different. Why is it? And you have a conviction, you'll be able to tell them. And the girls, you go to school, and my girls went to school, they had long hair and the dress, and they got pulled on and all the rest. It's nice to have mom and dad wants me to have a dress on, so I got to wear one. Mom and dad wants me to have long hair, so I just got to wear my hair long. No. What does the book say? You got convictions in your own soul? You learned that this is the truth? I wasn't brought up into a Christian home. When I took a stand as a boy of 16, I dare not do what my parents wanted me to do as a Christian. If I did, I'd have been far-fetched and out the ball field long ago. And I would have been shot and gone. Forgot about it. No, the truth. Learn the truth from your own. I was going to say your own book, your own Bible. Yeah, not from the books. Read your book before you ever read another book. And reread it. You can't read it too many times. You can't put it into your soul enough. The truth of God that you get from the King James Version. You should be able to understand it. I can. My IQ is not too heavy. I can understand it, so I don't know why you can't up here in Ontario. It's important. The truth of the Word of God is very, very important. Learn the truth. Then it says, having on the breastplate righteousness. Yeah, right living. Living right. Right on the income tax. Yeah. Right living. Just living that is right. Treating your wife right. Speaking to her right. Yeah, treating your children right. Or you're making them angry with you. Learning to live right in every circumstance. Just to live a good neighbor. You shouldn't be hateful to your neighbor, no matter how hateful your neighbor is to you. Shouldn't be any retaliation, any desire to retaliate. That is living righteousness, right life, it's a breastplate. It's near your heart. That's right. What will come over your heart, or over your mouth, is what really is in your heart. That's right. So learn right living, righteous living, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I just noticed that today, really. It's amazing. It's the gospel of peace. Gospel of the Lord Jesus, yes. The gospel of God is one thing, but the gospel of peace. Yeah, gospel. How's your gospel activity? How's your gospel preaching? You're preaching and they say you're down east. Oh, we should all be preaching the same, whether we're from the east or from the west. We're preaching from the Bible. We should be preaching the same, and it's the gospel of peace. It makes peace. He made peace through the blood of His cross. And with the gospel, we should be make peace, yes, preaching the gospel of peace. How your gospel preaching? Or, you tone it down. You don't want to use the word sinner, and you don't want to, make nobody feel uneasy or you don't want to... Ah, listen, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You and I have no authority to change any of the gospel message. Preach it like the old men preach it, and we'll get the same results as the old men got. Preach the gospel of peace. And yet it's on your feet. Your walk, very important, isn't it? Ephesians speaks about our walk. Walk circumspectly. That's the walking. I heard some of the older men used to say is walking like a cat walks on glass. Have you ever see a cat walking on glass, or even see a cat walking at the top of the fence? Walking along the fence, and she walks circumspectly, very, very cautiously. That's the way we're to walk as Christians. And our walk is to be shod, is to be shining with the gospel. That's right. Shining with the gospel. Willing to go out with it. Willing to carry it. There's lots of places in the world, lots of villages and towns from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean, let alone going down to Mexico and to Ukraine and Russia and some of these other places that needs the gospel preached to. Your feet shod, you got your feet shining and you have peace in your own heart. You'll never carry peace if you don't have it in your own heart. Nice to have peace with God, peace with your brother. And the gospel does that. And your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith. And it says there, where ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith. Your faith growing? Yeah, the faith, the truth of God, the faith of God. Your faith growing? Is it developing? As you have it desired, and you're one of the pieces of the armor here is the shield of faith. Faith. Faith gets tried sometimes, do it. Oh yeah. Your neighbor is bad to you and your faith gets tried. What you really believe gets tried. Or, you know, the children brings disgrace upon the family and moves out, you know, and sad, isn't it? That little boy ran away from home down in Perry. I don't know all the beginnings of it and during it, but I know it ended in death. Very solemn, isn't it? Oh, it's nice to have, you know, this shield before us. We need something to protect us, brethren, in the dark world in which we live. And we need a shield of faith. Nothing will go to it. It's His faith. Fiery darts. Oh, I want to tell you, they're powerful. The enemy has, and he's coming up with more. The generation of past seemed not to have it, but you know the techniques that he's coming up with today to fire at the young and keep firing at them, and the old too. And sometimes there's a combat between the old and the. There should be no generation gap in the assembly of God. No generation gap. None. That's how we were taught in Newfoundland. The older men taught it to us. No generation. There should be a communication between the old and the young in such a way that there's no gap between them. A passing down of the leadership. Not men holding on to the leadership when you can't hear and you can't walk. You got to be yelling at the back door. You know, no, that's not it. And it's not just to pass it on to the young men that the young men is running with it and they got a big head. No, it's a communication amongst all in which everything will just be handed down as nothing ever happened. It's just a matter of moving on. It's progress. Shield. Faith. We need something to protect us, brother. You know that as well as I do. In the day in which... And it's fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, these darts. They go heavy deep down into the soul, doesn't they? They make you stagger. Oh, yes. Sometimes, you know, you can't sleep at night and you can't rest. And the thing, you know that the fiery dart has hit and hit the family hard and hit the relationship hard and hit the children hard and hit the assembly hard. And it's making staggering. Very, very indeed. But you know the shield of faith that ye may be able to quench. Stop. I guess the argument in the assembly, I was at a small assembly the other day, and I thought I was going to a place that was going to have a nice little time with them. And when I got there, I found out there were only three brethren, and they were the biggest argument you'd ever have. Fiery darts, they were firing at each other. And I said, stop. Let's stop and talk about it. First of all, we'll talk to the Lord together about it. Oh, I want to tell you, you got to be able to stop things. Man, that's making peace. Learn to make peace. Be peacemakers amongst the people of God. Don't be troublemakers. We got enough of that. Be a peacemaker amongst the people of God. And if you're going to be a peacemaker, oftentimes you've got to be willing to take a lot if the others don't take. How much are you willing to take in order to have peace in the assembly of God? How much are you willing to take in order to have peace in your family between husbands and wives? I went to a prayer meeting one night and came out of the prayer meeting early. I was speaking to the gospel and a little fellow sitting on the outside is but 8 years old. What an expression he had in his face. Wow, I never seen such an expression on an 8-year old in my life. I said, Sonny, you got trouble? Trouble? Boy, yes, he says. I don't tell you I got trouble. I said, an 8-year old boy has trouble. He says, he has trouble, but it's right in the home, he said. He says, my mom and dad fought like cats and dogs before we came to this meeting. That's what goes on in your home? And you wonder why the children don't go to assembly of God? Oh, I want to tell you, it's nice to have the shield there, protection. That's where the children should be, in a place where there's faith in the home and there's protection from the evil darts of the enemy. Verse 17, and take the element of salvation. Salvation. Good to have an element on, especially if you hit your head.
And oftentimes, you know, that's where Satan hits. He'll hit the head. He'll either make it bigger or he'll make it smaller. You know, he knows how to dart it in to take the ear out, and he takes it out too fast, and he knows how to put the ear in when he needs to blow it up. And you've got to be careful. An ailment of salvation is the thing that protected. Listen, what did I do for my salvation? Nothing. Didn't deserve it. Boy, oldest boy, 10 children, didn't hear it. There's a boy, and didn't deserve it. But I want to tell you, listen, oftentimes when I get into trouble, you know where I go? I go back and say, Lord, I want the element of salvation. Just want to enjoy my salvation. Enjoying your salvation, brother, is a drudgery. Enjoying the day of deliverance, delivered from the power of the evil one. Salvation, enjoying. And is it hard to preach salvation when you're not enjoying it? Ever try? I'm sure all preachers in, you know, somewhere along the way, wasn't just enjoying your salvation. Sometimes the old enemy hits hard sometimes. Ever have doubts about your salvation? You know, Mr. Harris used to say, late Mr. Harris that was in Newfoundland, brought the gospel to us, if you didn't have doubts, and I have doubts for you. I want to tell you, that's the enemy's technique, isn't it? Doubts. But, you know, it goes back to salvation, the element of salvation, enjoying my salvation. You know, I love to preach about salvation. Why? I'm enjoying it in my heart. I love to preach it from my heart. I was in Russia one day, and the interpreter said to me, keep preaching the way you're preaching. And I looked at her a little bit, and she says, yeah, the people know we're preaching from your heart, not your head. I hope you don't preach from your head, all these P's and T's, and you got to line it up. And you get all manged up when you can't remember the second one. It's nice to have salvation clear in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. And you're enjoying it. You have no problem telling the truth. I used to try to tell a lie. You get caught in something and you try to tell a lie. And you had to be very keen. You had to think hard to really cover up, you know, where they didn't. And remember, too, when you told a lie, you had to remember what you told. Because, you know, it's nice to tell the truth. When you're telling the truth, you're telling it from your heart. Everybody knows. It's nice to preach the gospel. Salvation is a sword. That's right. As salvation, the element of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Yeah, it was the Word of God. It's different. The Word of God. How are you enjoying the Word of God today? Enjoy reading it? When was the last time you really got something from this book that really spoke to your own soul? I've been enjoying Chronicles. Didn't I get manged up on all the words and forget them all? The other day, I just went down through them, and even the ones I couldn't say them, I just went down through and knew, just followed the ones that I knew. And you know, the link that I got is amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. The Lord can't, if you know, your intelligence, He's not going to go beyond and let you, you know, get something to try to get something. Don't try to get something beyond your intelligence. And you know that when some brethren get up, you know, and they're really going at it, you think they really know. You know, you wouldn't know what they were Spurgeon. And all of a sudden they realize, nothing, not real, isn't it? Nice to have it real. And the Word of God, enjoying the Word of God. Too many Christians are not enjoying the Word of God. Why is the Bible reading boring? I never ever went to a boring Bible reading. Never was to one in my life. Never. I didn't tell you that. I never was to a boring Bible reading in my life. Not one. What did you bring? What did you bring? I make no wonder you thought it was boring. You brought nothing. How do you give out anything when you don't have anything? And it's nice to enjoy the Word. And an old brother in Red Bay Labrador, he had one arm. And, you know, he never ever went to school. He learned to read from his Bible, your own Bible. And he used to ask you, where do you read today? And you tell him the book. No. Where do you read today? Tell him the chapter. No. Where's the verse? Got a verse? Little verse? It's not the amount that you read. It's nice to be able to read. Somebody was telling me the other day that they read through the Bible twice in a year and a half. Well, I can't say I do that, you know. But it's nice to get a little verse in the Bible and know that this is God's Word to your soul. You. Yeah, God is speaking to you. When is the last time God spoke to you from the Word? From the Word now. From the Word of God. And that's very important. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what will defend you. When Satan hits your mind, you can quote, you just be able to quote the Word of God. I was nice to have my brother-in-law with me when I used to go to Russia a few times, because sometimes I know where the verse is and I can't quote it, and sometimes I can quote it and don't know where it is, and he used to know both of them. And it was nice to have him with me. When I didn't know, I'd look at him and he would tell me. And it was just like an encyclopedia carrying with you. Nice. Oh, listen. If you're going to know the Word of God, you've got to be able to read it. A little girl, 9 years old the other day. 9 years old. Came to me, Uncle Eric, she says, I know I'm saved. And I read my Bible. But is there some way you can tell me how I can read my Bible better, where I can grow a little faster spiritually? 9 years old. When is the last time you asked somebody, how did they read your Bible? Or in little instructions of, and you're not too old. That's right. You're not too old to enjoy the Word of God. And you're not too old to ask somebody a little in, counseling about how you read your Bible. How did they get something from it? And it's nice to enjoy the Word of God. Because that's the only sword that is going to bring the old fellow down when he comes. And he's going to come. If he hasn't come, he's going to come. I don't mean the old man either. I mean the enemy, the devil. Yeah, he's prowling about and all his angels. And the only defense is this. This is the Word. That's what will bring him down, brother. When you use the Word and stick it right in him, good and sharp too. And then use it. Just let it go. Just like David let the stones go. And don't have any mercy either. Because he'll have no mercy on you. Use the Word of God as a sword. Very important. Verse 18, and I'm finished. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. How do you pray? How do you pray? Yeah. How do you pray? When do you pray? When do you pray? Yes, it's nice to have a prayer life. You pray for all the saints, or when you come to a certain, when you get down and pray for all the saints in assembly, but it's a little circle there that you just don't go into. They're a different group. They're a little clique. They get a clique of their own, so they pray for themselves. Is that right? It's nice to pray for all the saints. Nice to learn to pray, brethren. And young men and women, learn to pray when you're young. Get a pattern when you're young. Doesn't mean to say you got to be on your knees. A lot of prayers that I prayed, it wasn't on my knees. Didn't have time to get there. That's right. Didn't have time to get there. Traveling once in a car, I told a man that I needed to get from one airport to the other in Moscow. And I told him, I'm already late and I got to be there a certain time. And the only thing he didn't do is go under the car. Another one, I mean. Oh, I want to tell you, I prayed hard along the way. And sometimes I began to sing, even though I couldn't sing. Oh, Lord, I'm coming home. it's nice, brethren, to learn how to pray. Your prayer meeting here in Oshawa and assemblies in Ontario, are they smaller than the worship meeting and the gospel meeting? We said we're going to have a prayer meeting today. Would everybody come? Would you have been here today if you're going to have a prayer meeting? Well, maybe that's what they should have, start prayer meetings, because I want to tell you, that's it, prayer. Prayer is a sincere desire. Other than unexpressed emotions of a hidden fire trembles in the breast. Small prayer meeting, that's why you can have as big of gospel meeting as you want to. If you got a small prayer meeting, nothing will happen. Nice to pray. Learn to pray, young man and woman, even before you get married. If you never prayed before you get married, you'll pray after. it's nice to learn to pray. Learn to lay hold upon God. Learn to speak to God. And even when things get worse, this dear lady says, listen, I can't even pray. It's so bad I can't even pray. Oh, yes. It gets like that. Sometimes I've come before the Lord and the words didn't come either. And it says, Lord, I just don't know the words to say. But I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to stay here for a little time. Even though I don't know what to say. And don't know how to say it. The enemy the fiery dart has got so deep and so inflicted such into my soul. And all you do is just kneel there and weep and weep and weep and weep. But he knows you're dear. He'll hear your prayer even when it can't come to words. He'll know what's in your soul. Learn to pray if you're going to be able to stand. And there's going to be a lot of more change yet. You think there's a lot of change in Ontario. There's a lot more to come. The enemy is powerful, and he's going to hit the assemblies of God. He's not going to hit the places that don't hold the truth. He's going to hit the places that